So I really, really felt troubled. I did. I found myself feeling anxious and worrisome. I had just finished my sophomore year of college at Clark Summit University, and I was working at the university for summertime, but we were a few weeks into the summer, and I was headed on a Friday to my roommate's wedding in Maryland. So I was headed south into Maryland. At a little over halfway there, my car started running rough. I could tell. It just wasn't quite all firing like it should. I could kind of feel a little bit of a shake to things. And then all of a sudden, boom, the check engine light came on. And my dad had taught me, when this happens, you pull over. So, dutiful son, I pulled over, got it off, sat there along the edge of the road, and sure enough, could see vapor, steam coming out from under the front hood. Anybody else been there? Had this happen to you in a car? You know what I'm talking about. So I pop the hood, I get out, I go, boof, steam comes out, and I'm like, oh, great. Now, how many of you remember the old, now old movie Cars? Remember Cars, where all the cars kind of have this personality and kind of see their front faces? Well, if you had looked at my white Pontiac Sunbird, you would have seen it kind of doing the kind of gasping kind of thing, because there was steam spewing out. And you could tell it was overheating and sad and agitated. And I moved back in and put the flashers on, and then I stood there outside the car doing this and trying to think, because this was pre-cell phone. This was before, this was BC, before cell, okay? And so I stood there wondering what in the world to do, and I got to be honest, I'm sure some things were coming out of my mouth. I don't know if they were prayers or other things. I'm not quite sure. But I was feeling agitated, and looking back on it, I realize now that my own attitude was matching the car's attitude. Feeling troubled and anxious and overheating. I really felt that way. You know the feeling? Ever been there? Have you been there recently? Trouble. Has it happened to you lately? You or a loved one faces a worrisome diagnosis. Or maybe in your workplace, a supervisor's expectations are just through the roof, ridiculous. Or conditions for you and coworkers end up in utter chaos. Perhaps you're feeling the rough conditions in the economy right now, or other material crises are hitting you. Maybe you're getting sucked into the political news cycles right now. Aren't politics great already? You know, still months off from election time, presidential election, it's like, all the crazy stuff, and maybe you find yourself getting worked up in the midst of that. You might be struggling with your own crisis of faith. All sorts of spiritual uncertainties can mean trouble. Moral and ethical conundrums, trouble. Temptations and doubts and deconstructions, trouble. Could be that you feel a pileup of guilt over what feels like utter personal failure. Trouble. The world we live in deals us trials and tribulations, anxious longings, unsettled suffering, and a host of other stormy trouble. Here's what Jesus' words in John 16, I invite you there if you're not there yet. John chapter 16 helps us immeasurably. I'm going to invite you to your own copy of God's Word. If you've got a Bible app on your phone or digital device, go ahead and fire it up. If you need a print copy, they're in the seat backs in front of you. Go ahead and grab one right now. John 16 this morning helps us immeasurably when it comes to facing trouble. So let's slice into Jesus' words and digest this vibrant Father's Day truth, which will serve to bolster our courage this morning. Here's the truth. No matter our trouble, Jesus promises our Father's loving peace. No matter your trouble, Jesus promises your Father's loving peace. Listen as I read this morning from the Message version. Now, you've probably got a different version open. That's fine. You can just kind of trail along with me, and we're going to go back and forth in a couple different versions this morning, but I want to read first the whole clip, starting in verse 25 from the Message. Jesus says, "I've used figures of speech in telling you these things. Soon I'll drop the figures and tell you about the Father in plain language. Then you can make your request directly to him in relation to this life I've revealed to you. I won't continue making requests of the Father on your behalf. I won't need to, because you've gone out on a limb, committing yourselves to love and trust in me. Believing I came directly from the Father loves you directly. First I left the Father and arrived in the world. Now I leave the world and travel to the Father." Verse 29, his disciples said, "Finally, you're giving it to us straight, in plain talk. No more figures of speech. Now we know that you know everything. It all comes together in you. You won't have to put up with our questions anymore. We're convinced you came from God." Verse 31, Jesus answered them, "Do you finally believe? In fact, you're about to make a run for it, saving your own skins and abandoning me. But I'm not abandoned. The Father is with me. I told you all this so that trusting me, you will be unshakable and assured, deeply at peace. In this godless world, you will continue to experience difficulties, but take heart, I've conquered the world." No matter your trouble, Jesus promises your Father's loving peace. No matter your trouble, Jesus promises your Father's loving peace. Jesus is in the upper room with his disciples the night before his death on the cross. He's getting them ready, like a coach huddled with his team, aiming to bring clarity, hope, directions, and fresh courage. Right before this, he's been explaining the Holy Spirit's work as comforter, advocate, and helper in precious prayer reality for them via Jesus' powerful name. Last week in John 15, Randy encouraged us with Jesus' explanation about God's tending work in the garden of our lives. Our Father is our gardener who tends us and leads us in intentional pruning toward faithfulness. The kind of pruning that leads to faithfulness, that leads to fruitfulness. It's the Father's intention. Now, all throughout this upper room teaching, and we've been exploring it in the previous weeks, all throughout this teaching, Jesus is spotlighting the nature of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are proclaimed and woven throughout all of his teaching. It's an explosion of clarity on the mission of our three-in-one God. And his words to those original disciples help us today gain bolstered faith. Now, Jesus supplies further assurance right here for how our Heavenly Father helps us amidst trouble, amidst our life chaos and turmoil. With verses 25 through 28, Jesus clarifies for the disciples. Jesus knew that his figures of speech, like riddles, were at points hard for them to grasp. If you know anybody who enjoys kind of being a little mysterious when they talk to you? Some of you probably have a family member or maybe a boss or somebody you know who's kind of mysterious at times. At points you're just like, come on, just out with it. I don't need like all the mystery. Jesus realizes that his figures of speech were at points hard for them to grasp. He just used, right before the verses we read, he just used the analogy of a woman in childbirth. And how once the baby is born, there's joy and the agony subsides. Christ explains how they're going to feel sadness, they're going to feel trouble and agony, but then joy when they see him again. Back in chapter 15, the figure of speech was vine and branches. Back in chapter 14, it was house and home and kind of a mix of literal and figurative. And back in 13, at the start of this time in the upper room, it was foot washing and all the head scratching over that. And now Jesus pointedly emphasizes the Father's love and his own destinations. Look at verses 27 and 28, this time in the New International Version. He says, no, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father. Notice what he specifies. Notice what he specifies. The Father's love becomes personal reality for them via their love and belief in Jesus. In other words, their love and belief in Jesus opens this portal through which then they experience the Father's love in bolder, more brilliant color. This love is one of deep fondness, near and dear close friendship. Think right now about one or two of your closest friends. Who you're really, really close with. I can guarantee that nearness and dearness is born of time spent together, great conversation and communication, ever-growing trust together, right? Even when you don't completely see eye to eye, there's this growing trust because you stay in the thick of it together and you spend time together and you convo together and you work things out together. Nearness and dearness looks like that. It's close, close, close. The Father is fully clued into Jesus' followers. Oh, so close. Trust and devotion, belief, and ever-growing endearing love for Jesus, the Son. So he reciprocates with his Father love for Jesus' followers. No matter our trouble, Jesus promises our Father's loving peace. Tremendous place right now. I urge you to pause or tuck it away and pause for a few moments at some point this afternoon, throughout the week this week. Pause, do a personal scan, your own soul check. Scan your soul. Ask yourself, am I loving, close, growing closer friends with Jesus in such a way that he says to me, oh yes, our Father loves you because you believe and love me. Our Father, his love, is flooding your way because you believe and love me. Is daily listening, praying, obeying, following Jesus' way, cultivating such reciprocal love, a reality in your own life rhythms? It takes intentionality. Are you intentional like that? Are you doing more than a Sunday morning faith? Are you aiming to Sunday afternoon through the next Sunday early morning before you're even thinking about coming to church? Is it on your radar, these rhythms of talking to Jesus and listening in the Word of God to the words of Jesus and then obeying and following and loving him and talking to him about your troubles and your trials and your frustrations, talking to him about those times when you're overheating, when you're like my little white car, you're rumbling and stumbling and struggling? And are you so close with Jesus that you're having that kind of loving relationship with him in such a way that then he turns around and says, oh, yes, and because this is family, the Father's love for you, it pours your way. With verses 29 and 30, in John 16, those original disciples explain their own newfound clarity as Jesus says this to them. In fact, they say to him, oh, you're anticipating people's questions. They don't even have to ask them. Now we get it and we really believe you. See, in Jewish mindset in that day, such ability to sense and answer questions without people even vocalizing them was considered a sign of being truly divine. And so they see Jesus' divinity right here. They're like, oh, we know, we get it, that you are from God the Father. Verses 31 and 32, Jesus read their hearts and he foretells how they'll scatter, leaving him all alone. Only he'll not really be alone, he clarifies that, because the Father was with him. All of this dialogue is aiming to strengthen true faith in the face of their troubling circumstances and hearts being troubled. In all of this, Jesus is aiming to bolster their faith. He's aiming to bolster our faith in the face of trouble. So it's really great that Jesus does not end this portion with verse 32. It would be so discouraging, it would be so sad if he just ended it telling about how they'll scatter from him in fear. Such sad prediction. Instead, he has this powerful word of encouragement. 32b through 33. Will you read it with me? Let's read it aloud together. Because before we're done, in a few minutes, I want you to own this. The Spirit of Christ wants you to own this. So let's read it aloud together. Jesus says, "Yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Here is so much more than a little pep talk. Notice the substance of Jesus' assurance. He personally knew how the Father's presence helped recalibrate and calm his own perspective. As Jesus did all the way along, there's more than the implication that his followers can do the same. By the way, that's true all across the Gospels. What we see in Jesus, in his teaching and his example, is there for us to follow. It's not just dusty old lines back there for people back in that day. It's living, it's active, it's life-changing for us when we're willing to lean in and really believe and follow. That's Jesus' intention. Notice, so that in me you can have peace. So that in me you can have peace. That's Jesus' intention, and he promises that he's overcome the world. The word for overcome, it means won the victory. Won the victory, the old Greek language root sounds like the brand name Nike. How many of you have owned a pair of Nikes? How many of you have a family member who has owned a pair of Nikes? How many of you like my Nikes? Our boys, they've had their share of Nikes over the years. And the actual truth is that the root of this, it goes way, way back in ancient Greek times to this proclamation of victory, of overcoming. It's the idea that one side has won, they've been victorious, they've overcome Nike. Jesus doesn't want us endlessly overwhelmed. He wants us to learn to overcome. He doesn't want us endlessly riddled with the overheating and the flashing dash lights like my little white car. Anxiety and worry and fear and more anxiety and worry and fear and uncertainty and more anxiety and worry and fear and uncertainty. And those things all slap us, come at us. All of us, absolutely. We lift the hood on our lives and boof, we can feel overwhelmed. That happens. But it's not Jesus' intention that we stay there. When we stay there, when we let ourselves be riddled by that constant pattern and we endlessly think that way and we let ourselves stay stuck there, overwhelmed, well, then what happens? We let ourselves get sucked into old patterns of sinfulness and self-centeredness. We let ourselves give in to our most devilish vices. We give in to all kinds of things. You know it. You know how that works. Jesus doesn't want us endlessly living right there. Now, these are all very real to our human condition. They are rooted in the stuff of Genesis 3 and the fall back in the garden and the ripple out across the centuries of our human condition. Absolutely. Anxiety and worry and fear and uncertainty. Yes. These are all very real to our human condition. We all face them. But Jesus Jesus is showing us how to face them in better ways. Nike, no matter how our trouble, Jesus promises your Father's loving peace. No matter your trouble, he promises your Father's loving peace. No glossing things. In this world, you will have trouble. So some of you already, we've said trouble enough that you've heard those old lines from the Music Man, that musical, oh, we got trouble, right here in River City. Some of you have already been playing that in your heart and mind, you know it. It's true, hardships and heartaches and they're deeply personal internal struggles, relationship turmoil, sinful habits, failures, addiction struggles, yes. And ultimately, fears and tribulation that living in this world throws our way. But it's intriguing how Jesus sketches two contrasting realms. In this world, and he says, in me, in Christ. In this world, trouble. In Christ, peace. Now, every day, we are faced with these two realms. His distinguishing these two realms turns spotlight on this reality. You can choose daily, hourly, constantly. Where these two realms overlap, right here, right here. Where these two overlap, and it happens constantly in our lives, right? Some of you looking at me, you're like, yep, right there. I'm right there this morning. Some of you are like, yep, I know it. Where those overlap, you have a choice to make. I have a choice to make. Constantly. Where will I focus? Where will I let my perspective land? Where will I camp in my attitude? We rather accurately grasp the trouble part, right? We get that. I felt in trouble about 8 miles into my half marathon last fall out by Kennett Square. I was running with my buddy Chris, and we had started strong. We were feeling the Nike thing. We were, woo, yeah, we started. But then there were way more hills than I had bargained for. Who knew that Kennett Square was so much hillier than Lancaster County? I mean, I knew they had mushrooms, but not hills. And I thought that I had trained well, and in a sense I had. I had run lots of miles getting ready, but not for this level of hills. And I was about 8 miles in, and all of a sudden I reached this point, I hit this wall, and I was really struggling. And I'm trudging along, struggling, I'm trying, and it seemed like everything then, all I could see was uphill. I mean, like this center here, right here, some of you know what it's like to try to walk up and out of this auditorium. Some of you are like, oh, I gotta get up and out of here. I felt like every spot, no matter the level of incline, was like trying to get out of here. And I felt overwhelmed. That's when I started to realize, wait a minute, most of this, 95% of my trouble is happening right between these two ears. Because I had trained, my endurance was good, but I was only seeing the hills and thinking, ah, oh, it's a huge mountain up ahead, and all it really was about like this. And my mindset, my perspective was all wrong, and I really needed right focus. That was essential to finishing the race strong. And I praise God I did, but out there in that 8 mile, 9 mile point, I really had to figure out what was going on in here. Trouble hits us all the time. So you get it. You're all like, most of you, I see it in your eyes. You're like, yep, yep, I know all about that. But what about peace? What about peace? See, in the Greek world thinking of Jesus' day, peace was largely a trait from the negative. The old Greek word, eirene, the emphasis in Greek world thinking of that day was absence of war and conflict. In other words, if you said eirene, it meant, no war. That was it. It was from the negative. But with God's realm, with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit perspective, peace is actually a blessing to the positive. In Jesus' world, eirene and shalom go together. It is this idea, this concept of the blessing of God, right standing with God, that puts your soul in the good place. Eirene, shalom, in God's framework, is the blessing of God, right standing with God, that puts your soul in the good place. The good place. To the positive. So there have been old covenant passages prophesying that the Messiah to come would indeed be the ultimate peace. Isaiah 9, verse 6, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And Zach in Chapter 9, verse 10 prophesies like this. The Lord says through Zechariah, "I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth." These prophecies connected the nature of the coming Messiah with deep, lasting, far-reaching peace that not only changes the geopolitical realm of the globe, but changes our own hearts day by day by day. It's that far-reaching. Here in John 16, Jesus is wondrously saying, "I am he. I am the fulfillment. The great I am is your peace. I am your peace," Jesus is saying. "Amidst your troubles, your tribulation and suffering, how do you take courage?" How do you take heart? By the way, that's a command from Jesus right there. It isn't like, "Hey, if you feel like it, take some courage. Hey, if in the midst of this you get a little troubled and you feel worked up, if you hit this overlap spot here, you might consider grabbing some courage." No, he says, take heart, take courage. For every one of us, we need a healthy dose of heart and soul conversation. Heart and soul conversation. Do you talk to yourself? I know you do. I do. Sometimes it's out loud. Sometimes it's not. Some better ways to converse with our souls. Learn to say to yourself and then to others, wait, time out. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the great three in one, are with me. Jesus is promising that reality for you. Mark it down, blaze it on your soul. All across this upper room teaching, Jesus is saying, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit with you. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit with you in all you're facing every day in every way with you. Wait, time out. Jesus is my Prince of Peace. When once again I've lifted the hood of my life and the steam is spewing out and the check engine light is flashing, whoa, wait, time out. He is my shalom, my eirene, my Prince of Peace. Wait, time out. I'm at peace because Jesus has made things all right. He's declared me right before the Father. I am right with God through Jesus' death and resurrection for me. Listen to what the Apostle Paul sews together for us in Romans 5, 1 and 2. Check this out. Don't miss this. Romans 5, 1 and 2. Paul says, therefore, since we have been justified, that means you've been declared righteous. If you have put your faith and trust in Jesus, you've been declared righteous. It's Jesus' righteousness for you. Right standing with God, affected for you through the work of the cross. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Wait, time out. I am victorious and overcoming because King Jesus has been victorious and overcome the world. So every day, in the midst of the intersection of world and Christ, trouble and peace, you've got this choice to make, and every day you can stand. Go back and stand right there. I stand in this reality that I have the peace of God. I have the peace of God. And if you're saying today, I don't know I have that. You have the opportunity this morning, in these moments before we're done with this service, to call out to him. And when we're singing a closing song in a few minutes, to cry out to him and say, Jesus, I want you to be my peace. Forgive my sins. Change me. I know all about the trouble of my sinful past. I want the reality of your peace in my life. Forgive me. I want right standing with God the Father through you, Jesus. Just call on him for that. Just call on him for that, and he will answer. He promises. Peace of the Heavenly Father. I limped my troubled, overheating sunbird, that little white car, to my roommate's wedding in Maryland. It was a Friday afternoon, and before a garage closed, I got it in the garage. They checked it all out. That next morning, the morning of the wedding, they checked it all out, and when I got back Saturday afternoon to pick it up, they told me that they replaced a broken spark plug, recalibrated some things, and they said, it's fine. You'll be fine. I headed a few miles down the road that evening, only to discover that it was not fine. I made it like all of 15 miles down the road, and it was overheating again, looked like one of the characters from Cars. Again, steam was pouring out the hood again, and I got out, and steam was pouring out my ears again, and I felt so anxious and so troubled inside. But then I realized, again, BC, before cell phones, and I realized then what I could do. I could limp the car down to the next exit, and I could call Dad. And so I called Dad out in Ohio near Columbus, and I told him what was going on, and I said, can I head for home? And he said, yes, absolutely, he said. I said, if I make it partway, will you bring Dad a car hauler? I said, if I come partway, can you come meet me? I'll keep limping it, and you drive, and we'll see if we can meet up. And we got a tow truck involved as well. And I limped the gasping sunbird toward Ohio. I didn't go back north toward Pennsylvania on up in. I called Dad, and he said, yes. And so I drove it to the point where Dad could meet up. We loaded it on the car hauler. Mom and Dad came late that night, middle of the night. We landed safely home. I called my father. We landed safely home, safe and sound. My father's love, my father's peace. Look at Jesus' words one more time. Make them your own. Yet I am not alone, Jesus said, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. Nike, I have overcome the world. Own this. In Christ, you are so loved with the Father's love. No matter your trouble, Jesus promises, he promises our Father's loving peace.